Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Let's get into it. It's me, your host, mindset strategist, and purveyor of acumen, Classy Brown, changing women's lives one conversation at a time. How are y'all today? I hope you all are doing well. The topic for today is I am not okay. I told y'all that I thrive in chaos, and I do. And there is an aspect of my life that has really picked up, that has really just, in leaps and bounds, done amazing things. But girl, there is also an aspect of my life that has me still crying sometimes at night. You know, I am thriving in chaos, and that chaos looks like people are dying and getting killed. So while I have a smile on my face and I'm excited about that, you know, what I'm doing and the work that I'm doing and I'm living in my purpose, there is still grief happening. The collective is shooketh. So I am an energy person, so I feel that. I do. And it's rough. So today was Blackout Tuesday, and I paused because I wanted other voices to be heard more clearly. So Blackout Tuesday was you put a black screen up, which I'm going to say what I got to say, and then I'm going to say something else. And I wanted all Black Lives Matter posts, there were a lot of rallies and protests today, and all of those things I wanted to be illuminated. I did not want what I had to say to drown out the things that were important. But guess what? My voice is important. The work that I do is important. I'm getting y'all together, your lives right. I'm bringing you joy. I'm bringing you some get right. I have a path for the best life, and that is what we need. But let me tell y'all something. It has been an adjustment stepping into my passion and power and mission and purpose. And there is still room in the shoes for me to grow. Overnight, it clicked. It was a struggle. And then overnight, it clicked. And I ran with it. Because the time is now. But that doesn't mean that there aren't remnants of things going on. And then layers to trauma and trigger. You know, your trigger is your trauma. Some of that doesn't belong to you. I'm getting off topic. But I didn't really watch George. I made a decision. I watched Aubrey. I did not watch George, okay? Because I'm not going to be watching anybody die anymore on television. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it in the movies. I'm over it, okay? I am very triggered watching black bodies drop. So that's not my ministry. I don't need to see it. You tell me that somebody got killed, I believe you. And what are we going to do now? But in 2015, I watched Philando and I was done. Done. I was pregnant, by the way, too. Done, and more done. And then in 2016, when the election happened, so in 2015, I had to make a decision whether to watch the news and keep abreast, and I just couldn't. I had to check out for the betterment of my baby that I was carrying, which was kind of precarious anyway. And then in 2016, in November, I had to make another decision because I was carrying another precious life that happened to be a boy child. I ended up hiding that pregnancy from the world. My mom knew, you know, like immediate family knew. I didn't have a shower. I didn't have anything. I was very silent about it because of this shit right here. My beautiful baby boy is going, well, no, he's not, because I made a decision to raise revolutionaries, and I'm going to get to that. But at the time, I was like, my baby boy is going to be somebody's target. There will come a time when he's no longer cute and he is a threat. And how do you process that? How do you, as a mama lion, not kill everybody, maul everybody? And so I was sitting with that, and it wasn't sitting well. And so I kind of got a little trauma behind that. So while I'm thriving in chaos and I'm celebrating my birthday, and I know that all this change is good, it is what I prayed for, it is what we need, I still am not okay. There is a aspect of who I am that is not okay and still sheds tears. I still cry. Now, I try not to get too upset with my crying, but I still cry. So I paused on social media, and when I realized that my voice was needed, I still continued to pause because I needed the rest. I needed to rest and reset and figure out, what am I going to do? And so I decided to talk to the people in my groups. I got like several groups, and I decided to have conversations with the lovely women in my groups. I have a couple co-ed groups, but I wanted to talk to women, so that's what I did. And there is a lot of I'm not okay, a lot of overwhelm, a lot of I'm not okay, and I just want to say that it's different for Black women. It's different. When we say we're not okay, not all of us, okay? I'm going to speak from personal experience and most of the experience that I know from most Black women. Not all Black women, but a lot of Black women. It's different when Black women say they are not okay as opposed to when other women, white women, say they're not okay. When I say I'm not okay, I still have to get up and be about my business. So while I may feel like I have to crawl underneath the bed, I'm not. I got kids to raise. I have work to do. There are things that need to get done throughout the day. So that is why I'm crying at night, or I'm crying while I'm working, because I cannot stop. I cannot stop. I still have things to do. So I cannot stop and be overwhelmed. And if I pause to be overwhelmed, I still have to resume. And I did not really realize that that was a thing until, I mean, you know, subconsciously, you know, it's a thing, but I didn't know it was a real thing until I took my children to the developmental doctors, because they have some they got some issues, and they give you like a 14-page questionnaire to fill out. And one of the questions, so my kids have some sensory issues. Sensory issues in people, adults, so kids are people too, but sensory issues in adults and children can look the same, and they could not look the same. So for instance, loud noises or textures, whether they're eating them or they're putting them on their bodies can make them like have little tantrums, or, you know, things just don't sit right with them. They may do some self-soothing, like banging their heads or whatever. There are a lot of little like idiosyncrasies. Sometimes they don't like to get their hair combed. They don't like to get wet. It's a whole situationship, okay? And they're in agony. They're in agony. And sometimes they grow out of it and sometimes they don't. And so you need to see a developmental pediatrician so that you can get a little OT in to help you, help your kids go and be great. Because when they're not, when you don't address those issues when they're small, they are still there when you're an adult. And then they like manifest themselves differently. You know, people are wilding out and you're like, dude, what is the problem? I don't understand why pizza sauce made you like snap. Well, sensory or crazy. But let's go with sensory first. Anyway, so they had this 14-page questionnaire. And one of the questions on there is, are you depressed? Or are you having some type of issues? And I said, yes, I have two toddlers who both have sensory issues. And it has been tough because I do not have the resources to help them right now, which is why we're coming to the doctor. And the fact that I had to insist upon coming here, because our regular pediatrician kind of dismissed it the first couple times, is exhausting. And I wrote that, right? So we get into the office and we're talking about the kids, and the doctor says, well, maybe your child has sensory issues because you're depressed. I said, what? She said, well, you said that you were depressed. You asked me if I was depressed. Didn't you ask me on the questionnaire? She was like, you're right. We did ask you, but you put it. What the hell are you talking about? You asked me a question and I answered it. She was like, well, maybe some of the issues that she's having is because you're her primary caregiver. I said, I am not her primary caregiver. But, you know, you're the mom. I said, I have a whole husband who is really involved in our children's lives just as much as I am. She was like, well, maybe because of the stress that you feel, you are placing that on your children. And I said to her, I did not drive all this way for you to say that. So go ahead in your book and pick something else. My depression, my anxiety ain't got nothing to do with why we are here today. But then it dawned on me, right? That is facts. First of all, that is facts, okay? But it dawned on me because my depression does not make me freeze or immobilize me, okay? And a lot of y'all white women out here in these streets are frozen and falling out, and someone has to come get you or whatever. And that is just not what happens to black women. We do not have the luxury of falling out, of having overwhelm and pausing, having, you know, we don't have that luxury. And it wasn't until that moment, while she's looking at me with googly eyes, like I, you know, like I didn't say I was depressed, and I'm looking at her with crazy eyes, like I don't understand why my depression is something to be worried about when I'm talking about my kids. And that's because we are coming from this from two different perspectives. I may be depressed or have anxiety, and I still get up, I still work every day, I still take care of my children, I still, you know, most women still go to their real job, they cook real meals, if they have husbands or boyfriends, they tend to their husbands, their boyfriends, they tend to their children, and then they fall out in the bed and maybe eat some bonbons watching Somebody's Loving Hip Hop. We do not have the luxury of really sitting in our sorrow. And it wasn't until recently that I realized that is part of the problem. Now, I am not saying that you should just break down, but you need to acknowledge when you are not okay. You, Black woman, you do not have to be Superwoman. You do not have to get it all right. You do not have to be all right all the time. It is okay to not be okay. We got some heavy things going on that would really arrest someone. We have COVID that is literally taking out our mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children. 5 times to 1, our white counterparts. Then we have blatant and systemic racism. You know, 45 just declared, I feel, martial law and war on us as a people. That's stressful. We have watched so many of our brothers and our sisters die, perish in public and in private. That's heavy. That's heavy. And sis, you do not have to carry that burden by yourself. You need to connect with some people, because it ain't right. It's not right. You need to let someone know and help yourself. And when I say help yourself, I just don't mean a pedicure. Not that you should be getting them anyway because of coronapocalypse. But I don't mean that. I mean, you may need to see the people. And when I say the people, I mean like a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a therapist. Yeah, so that you can work some things out. You need a clearing. You need a clearing of your mind. Okay? You need to get some of this stuff out of your mind so you can manifest greatness. So that you can manifest peace, joy, love, kindness. Okay? You are allowed to be vulnerable, and your vulnerability does not make you weak. Your tears do not make you weak. Not at all. They actually clear your soul. Cry yourself a river, because your tears will clean your soul. You will have really good clarity about how you feel, and maybe not your next moves, but how you should move, you know? At least I think so. I think if you cry long enough, you'll get to enough is enough and I need to make a change. Or you'll get to, I'm going to grieve, and I'm going to grieve hard, and then I'm going to live. So that's what I believe. Maybe some of y'all will be underneath the bed, but if you tell someone, they'll look for you there and help to pull you out. So that was really on my mind today. I also had a discussion with another mom friend of mine, and she had a total breakdown in the parking lot of McDonald's. I thought it was just overwhelm, but it was not. She had a situation. She was in the parking lot. The McDonald's people forgot her. Then a truck with white men and Confederate flags pulled up right beside her. There was nobody else in the parking lot. There were cars in the drive-thru, but nobody else was in the parking lot, and they moved right up beside her. She had 2 little babies in the back of her car, and they just sat there. And she lost it. Now listen, this shit is real. This is a legit reason to lose it. This is a legit reason to be hysterical and out of control. We just watched a man die at the hand of police / white men. And now they want to play games. That was a game. And maybe they didn't even realize what they were doing. Maybe they were trying to figure out if they wanted to get in this long line at McDonald's. Maybe they had called in their order and they were sitting there waiting for the people to come out. I don't know. What I do know is that their mere presence, the way that they were, was more than just triggering. She was gonna die in that parking lot in front of her children. And I know how that feels. When I was in my 20s, I had a guy that I was engaged to, and he lived in Atlanta. So I went down there to see him, and we needed to rent a car. So in the heart of Atlanta, there was an enterprise that said that they would come and get you. So they came and got me from the hotel. But I didn't have a credit card with me. I had my debit card. Well, you know, when you use a debit card, they tend to take a lot of money to hold, you know. Well, I didn't have enough that time because my money hadn't made it into the account. It was like on a Friday, and then my money would hit like that Friday night or whatever. So since I didn't have the money, I couldn't get the car, and I was like, how am I gonna get back? And they were like, I don't know what to tell you. I said, what? They said, I don't know what to tell you. You were supposed to get the car. You didn't get the car. This isn't a taxi service. If you want to get home, you're going to have to call a taxi. So I said, okay. So I call the taxi, wait for the taxi to come. They're closing the store. I said, what am I going to do? They say, you're just going to wait for the taxi. Well, it was next to like an auto body shop. And I don't know where we were, but it was all white men there, Harleys and everything. And when they locked up that shop, I began to cry. I was trying to be strong. I had tears rolling down my face. I was just fearful for my life because I just knew that they were going to string me up. I get into the taxi and I was hysterical. Like, I wasn't hysterical outside of the taxi, but as soon as I shut the door, I was hysterical. I could almost just couldn't talk because I had been holding it together. Tears were rolling down my face, but I was holding it together because I didn't want anybody to see me be fearful. But when I got into that taxi, I was hysterical crying. And the taxi guy was like, calm down. You know, it's okay. He ended up giving me his phone number. Not because he was trying to talk to me, but like as inspiration. And the guy who I was with, I called him, but he couldn't get back to me in enough time to like meet me there. So I ended up falling asleep. But before I fell asleep, I called the taxi guy. You know, because I just wanted him to talk to me and maybe pray with me or whatever. I was into that then. And the taxi people was like, he's not here. I wish he would quit giving because that's not what we do. He's literally a taxi driver. So stop that. And we have a lot of things that we have to unpack, sisters. We really do. We have to unpack the fact that we feel like we need to be strong all the time. The fact that we have real pain. We have been hiding for so long, sucking it up for so long, This is the time to let people see what it really is. This is an awakening. We got folks walking around here talking about I never knew. Well, sometimes I want to give people like that a side eye, and then other times I think we are really good at hiding. We hide from our husbands and our boyfriends. We hide from our parents. We hide from the people at our jobs because we don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. We sometimes hide from our friends. Stop hiding. Stop hiding. Stop hiding and share your truth. Stop hiding. Share your truth. Ask for help and get better. In that order. Now, if you are in a situation where you need help, of course you get help and you be who you need to be. But after that, you really need to unpack that and leave those bags by the curb. You do not have to walk around with your trauma all the time. You do not have to swallow it in bite-sized pieces. Nope, you don't. You really can take it off like a hat. Now, it's going to take some time and some energy, but we can do it. We want to leave this earth better than we came in it. We want our children to be free. Well, at least I want my children to be free. And we're going to have this kid conversation, but just not today. I want my children to be free children. So in order to do that, I cannot carry around my trauma and I cannot be triggered by my trauma and influence my children with it. So sis, if you are not okay, you are not okay. And you need to tell someone. And so that was part of the conversation that we were having, me and this one of the ladies from my group, my friend, and we were having this conversation because part of her not being okay was overwhelm, and she felt obligated to do it by herself. You do not have to do it by yourself. COVID and all, you do not have to do it by yourself. Cultivate a village. Cultivate a village. The time to create intimate connections is now. You can vet people. Yes. The time is now. The time is now while we're social distancing. The time is now. So sis, I need you to start joining some groups. I need you to share your truth. I need you to cry a river. I need you to do all the things. I need you to ask for help. So here is the hook now. Listen, you can't keep crying the same river, okay? And not ask for a lifeboat. And you asking for a lifeboat, get in that. I'm trying not to cuss. Get in that daggone boat, okay? Get in it. You don't like that boat? Use that boat to get to the next boat. You cannot sit in your cesspool of trauma and sorrow and anxiety. You have to release that. Set it out on the curb. You do not have to take that with you. Every time I say that, I think of Erykah Badu's Bag Lady. And, you know, she was saying that your bags are so heavy. Real talk. You do not have to carry a suitcase of trauma with you. Shed that. When they talk about generational curses, it's that part. But you don't have to wear that badge. I survived this. You don't have to wear that as a badge. You don't. So I want you to set it down. This is going to be a short episode. Because, again, it is oh dark 30 in the morning. And we're still getting to know each other. So I'm going to leave you with some affirming words so that you can work some things out on your day. Cry. Breathe. Just breathe. Listen. Your vulnerability is needed to hear your ancestors more clearly. They are whispering to you, the time is now. Live your best life, your bravest life. Fight. The time is now. We've endured so you could survive and thrive. Your blood is unlocking eons of magic. After all the wailing, you will hear the quiet whisper. They have been waiting for you and for your enough is enough moment. You will save lives with your healing. You will have many victories with your leadership. Rise through the fire, through the tears, through the pain. Rise with sacred knowledge from your ancestors. You are not broken, but you are changing. Breathe that in. Let it wash over you. Rebirth is here. Wake up. I hope that you find some value in this podcast. If you do, please share with a friend. Remember to fill your cup and care for others with the overflow. Take care and goodbye.